Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
Iraq continues to flaunt its hostility toward America and to support terror. The Iraqi regime has plotted to develop anthrax and nerve gas and nuclear weapons for over a decade. This is a regime that has already used poison gas to murder thousands of its own citizens, leaving the bodies of mothers huddled over their dead children. States like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil, arming to threaten the peace of the world. By seeking weapons of mass destruction, these regimes pose a grave and growing danger. They could provide these arms to terrorists, giving them the means to match their hatred. They could attack our allies or attempt to blackmail the United States. In any of these cases, the price of indifference would be catastrophic. We'll be deliberate, yet time is not on our side. I will not wait on events while dangers gather. I will not stand by as peril draws closer and closer. The United States of America will not permit the world's most dangerous regimes to threaten us with the world's most destructive weapons.
Imminent? That's the real thing. He was suggesting it would be military action as opposed to something else.
He said exactly what he said. He said it well. He didn't suggest anything. If there was anything about last night's speech, it was that it had near perfect clarity.
But a senior administration official after the speech said he didn't necessarily mean to say military action, but it could be other action.
What do you mean necessarily mean to say? He didn't say. He not only didn't necessarily say, he did not say. But he said exactly what he said.
He seemed to suggest, and therefore, perhaps it isn't that clear. You say it's perfect clarity. It isn't clear, is it?
Oh, I think it is.
You made a speech last week in which you said, quote, the best, in some cases, the only defense is a good offense. Now, that's a major change of U.S. defense policy, is it not? Have we ever taken a preemptory strike against another country without them first attacking us?
If you think about it, we have no choice. A terrorist can attack at any time, at any place, using a range of techniques. It is physically impossible to defend at every time, in every location, against every conceivable technique of terrorism. Therefore, if your goal is to stop it, you cannot stop it by defense. You can only stop it by taking the battle to the terrorists where they are and going after them.
Good morning. Thank you all for coming. Just had a breakfast with Vice President Cheney, who, as you all know, has returned from a lengthy and successful trip to the Middle East.
Mr. Vice President, on Iraq, you said we have a lot of allies out there, but I haven't noticed any of the Arab states supporting strong action against Iraq. They seem to want diplomacy to be given a chance. What kind of response did you get?
Well, I think, I guess the way I would characterize it is that they are uniformly concerned about the situation in Iraq, in particular about Saddam Hussein's failure to live up to the UN Security Council resolutions that said he'd get rid of all of his weapons of mass destruction.
I think one other point that's that the Vice President made, which is a good point, is that this is an administration that when we say we're going to do something, we mean it. That we are resolved to fight the war on terror. This isn't a short-term strategy for us. That we understand history has called us into action, and we're not going to miss this opportunity to make the world more peaceful and more free.
Vice President Cheney came back from his trip. He said that many Arab leaders shared the concern about weapons of mass destruction, but did not share the U.S. desire to get rid of Saddam Hussein, said it would be cause instability in the region. How do you read that?
I would not expect Saddam's neighbors to be the first people to raise their hands to say, you've got to take tough action against them. I think they look to the United States to lead, and I think the president is leading very clearly.
The Arab League announced today that at their meeting on Wednesday, they will say the United States should not preemptively attack Iraq to take out any weapons of mass destruction. Reports from your trip around the Middle East, that Arab country after Arab country said to you, don't do that, Mr. Vice President. Don't you dare attack Iraq.
That's not the way that I would describe, first of all, their opinions. I had private, confidential meetings at nearly every stop. Those meetings obviously were and need to remain confidential. They're all very concerned about Iraq. They live in the neighborhood. They know Saddam Hussein better than we do. Many of them know that right after us, they're high on his list of governments he'd like to do in.
Did you leave that region feeling that Arab leaders would basically oppose an American action against Saddam Hussein?
No, not at all. What I came away with, Bob, is the sense that they share our concern.
I ask that because the public reaction was, if one just read what those leaders said in public, it was, we're unified against any kind of action against Saddam Hussein. Is that a correct interpretation of the public reactions?
It was mixed, I think, in terms of their public reactions.
On your most recent trip to the region, most of the moderate Arab leaders with whom you met were not very enthusiastic about a U.S. strike against Iraq. King Abdullah of Jordan said to attack Baghdad now would be a disaster. Crown Prince Abdullah said, I do not believe it is in the United States' interests or the interests of the region or the world's interest to do so.
What I would say is that our friends in the region are equally concerned about the problems we see in Iraq, specifically the development of weapons of mass destruction by Saddam Hussein. This is a man of great evil, as the president has said, and he is actively pursuing nuclear weapons at this time, and we think that's cause for concern for us and for everybody in the region. And I found during the course of my travels that it is indeed a problem of great concern.
General Myers, Kenneth Edelman has written that if the United States were to go into Iraq to remove Saddam Hussein, militarily it would be a cakewalk. Is that the view here at the Pentagon?
When we put our young sons and daughters of this country in harm's way, I don't think you can ever call that a cakewalk. But what we know is that the situation since Desert Storm and today has changed dramatically, both for U.S. and coalition forces and for Iraqi forces. The Iraqi armed forces is about 40% of, in terms of numbers, of what it was in the Gulf War.
In hindsight, one might have wished that we had done more to anticipate a September 11th and prevent it. Although if we'd gone to war against Afghanistan before September 11th, people would have said we had no justification. We can't wait for a nuclear or chemical or biological attack to go and find the people who did it.
Is it fair to say Saddam Hussein's days are numbered?
I would hope so.
Is it fair to say so?
I think so.
There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of support among the allies in Europe for another U.S. military strike at Iraq with the aim of regime change or getting rid of Saddam Hussein. Can you go it alone?
I'm not going to get into that. You can be sure the United States isn't going to do anything that it's not capable of doing, and if we do something, we'll be capable of doing it. But it's not for me to make those judgments.
You saw the story in today's USA Today on the front page suggesting that your military chiefs are not enthusiastic about going after Iraq right now, that the military might be stretched too thin already in Afghanistan.
I meet with those folks all the time. I have no reason to give credence to that.
For much of the last century, America's defense relied on the Cold War doctrines of deterrence.